Hello, Big Man Up Top listeners. Producer Anthony here with our penultimate summer special episode. Yes, the new Premier League season is just a couple of weeks away, and if you're more into the lower leagues, it's starting even sooner. Before that, though, we want to bring you another one of the amazing interviews we've had over the past year, and this time we're going all the way back to last August. If you've listened to our live show at The Gathering a few weeks back, you would have heard some great chat with one of our guests, John Bostock, professional footballer and founder of Ballers in God. But this wasn't the first time that John has spoken with us, as he talked with Ed on episodes 2 and 3 of our little show. In that interview, they talked about a whole host of things, like the hope footballers and fans have for the new season, the importance of faith in John's career, and the impact of his initiative, Ballers in God, on social media. With it being so close to the new season, it felt really relevant to put it up again. So sit back and enjoy this talk with John Bostock.
Welcome to the Big Man Up Top. How are you doing?
I'm well. Honoured to be here. Look forward to speaking to you today, for sure.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us, mate. So you've had an incredible, stellar career. You've been to all sorts of places. But for the 24-25 season, you're with Solihull Moors, aren't you? So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we had a few offers, a few quite far away from home. Obviously, I'm a footballer, but you know, I'm a firm believer, and I talk about this a lot, that we're more than players. You're more than just what you do. You're a person first before you perform in any aspect of life or work. And so being a person first, I'm a dad, I'm a husband, and being settled at home was our priority for our next choice of club, so that my family can stay a bit settled, because we've traveled the world for my career. So Solihull Moors came in, and speaking to the manager, the prospect, and the project, the club, it was something that I liked and sounded really quite exciting, to be honest with you.
That's amazing. That's amazing. You touched on it a little bit there, but I was wondering, because you mentioned you had a few offers. What was the thing about the club and about where you're sort of seeing its potential that made you want to join Solihull Moors particularly?
Yeah, because I had offers from especially one team in the league above, in League Two, and even some interest from clubs overseas and whatnot. And I think it's really important for people to know like why you do what you do. Because you can sign for a club in a division lower and everyone will have a certain opinion about that move. Ah, he's taking a step down, or, you know, it looks like you've taken a hit career-wise. But that's why I've come to learn that always know why you do what you do, so that you're not kind of following people's expectations and bound by their opinion of you, because football's a game of opinions. Every fan has their opinion, they're entitled to it. But as a player, it's important to remember why we do what we do. So like, my reasons are bigger than just trophies and finances. You know, I have a family that I provide for, and ultimately I want to use my gift to impact people, especially, you know, in their faith, and use my talent to glorify God. So it's something that when making decisions for my career, obviously I pray about the steps I'm going to make, and my wife also. And so we came to the decision after the offer came that this was one that we sensed God wanted us to take.
Definitely. Well, earlier you mentioned about there's a season for everything. This is the ideal time, isn't it, for football fans to have hope, and it all sort of dissipates maybe after the second or third weekend. But it's that thing of how do you sort of approach this time of the season? Because it feels from the outside like this is the time where, right, we're all ready to go, anything is possible. So how do you approach the beginning of a season?
It's a fresh start. It's a fresh start. Everyone's on the same points. And honestly, anything's possible. You know, you can achieve your dreams of getting promoted or spending time towards the top of the table, or, you know, your worst fears could also possibly happen if you're getting relegated. So there is a lot to play for. It's a clean slate. But one thing, like you said, hope. Hope is a very powerful word, because it's more than a word. It's a mindset. So every team starts off after having a tough preseason, new players in the door, new kit, fans are behind you. And as a player, I guess in my 17, 18 years of being a professional, every year it's like the start of every season. It's like, you know, you have goals to want to try and score and assist and help your team. And I think the goal is always to succeed. You never set a goal to fail. So We press on towards what we desire, but we do know that there'll come trials, tribulations, and ups and downs. So yeah, it's an exciting time for a new player. You put on the fresh kit, you have your new boots, and your family come to watch. And yeah, it's a special time for sure. And also the preseason's finished, so that's always good news to every player because it's tough. Preseason training is very demanding.
Yeah, you've had enough of running around the local lake or whatever it is. Well, listen, John, you're a man of faith. How does your faith in Jesus shape that hope? So, you know, you talked about hope at the start of the season, but just day to day, how does your faith in Jesus shape that?
It's a wonderful question. I get asked this a lot when people ask about my faith. And I think, look, everyone listening to this, every single person, I'm sure, has either been through something, going through something, or will go through something that is very challenging. And football is a wonderful game. I believe it's probably the world's biggest religion. If you look at it, it unites every culture, every religion, every nation, every continent. It's a special, beautiful game. And although, you know, it's a game that is loved and followed by so many, when you're in it, there are some amazing ups, but also some serious downs. You know, performance levels, being out of the team, not performing as you desire to perform, maybe not having a club. I feel like I've experienced all of these things numerous times. And the danger is, as a young person, I kind of grew up to put my hope in my sport, in my identity, in my performance, in my sport. But the issue with that is football's always changing. You know, everything changes about football. The managers change, opinions change, fans change, kit changes, times change, everything changes. So if you put your hope in something that consistently changes, that's not going to be a very good foundation to build yourself as a man. So when you ask me, how does my hope in Jesus impact me? It actually has given me a complete new identity in my thought process and my performances. I now play with a freedom rather than playing with a fear of, oh, I might be out of the team or what happens if I don't get a club. I now know that my gift is the talent that God's given me. And he wants me to enjoy that gift, but also recognize that it doesn't define me, which is, it's been a process, if I'm honest with you, Ed, taking me a long time to get to that place. Because you all desire to succeed, but ultimately I know that God's plans for me are good. God has good plans for you. He has wonderful plans for you. And you might have felt like you've been through some serious challenges, but just be encouraged to know that God has never left you nor forsaken you. And that's something that really gives me hope. No matter what I go through or what season of life I'm currently in, or what fears are, you know, trying to weigh me down, I know that God is with me. And I think that that is one of the greatest of all promises. My situation might not be fixed straight away, or circumstances might not change straight away, but to know that he's with me through the storm, with me through the trial, with me in my victories, there's something very powerful knowing that you never walk alone. No pun intended to the Liverpool song there, but honestly, he really is a constant help. My hope in him has been my foundation for my career and my identity as a man.
I'm really glad you mentioned you'll never walk alone, because Joe, my co-host, is a Liverpool fan, so he'll be delighted with that. I'm going to put you on the spot here, John. Any scriptures in this realm that sort of particularly jump out at you? Maybe when you're not feeling hopeful, that, you know, your go-to ones to remind you of that hope you have?
Yeah, honestly, there's many, and that's why I love the Bible. There was a time in my life it used to just collect dust on the shelf. The time I didn't have a Bible. But now the Bible says it's a living book, like it's alive when you read it. You might read something on a Monday that might not speak to you, but on a Sunday, or you go through something, that line or that verse or that chapter, it becomes like food for your soul. One verse that consistently almost feeds me, it's found in John 16:33. And it says, this is Jesus speaking. He said, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you have many trials and tribulations, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. And if you just take a look at the news, take a look at culture, the things that's happening, the things that we're currently facing and we will face, there are a lot of uncertainties out there for sure, and challenges how we navigate life. But Jesus gave us this promise and this assurance that in him we have peace, and he has actually overcome all the things that we will ever have to face. And because he's overcome and he has victory, when we get to know him and walk with him, we also walk in victory in life. So that verse really gives me serious, deep-rooted peace and also hope for sure.
That's amazing. And that scripture, when we had our conversation about hope in episode one, was the exact scripture we quoted. So wonderful. Praise God. That's amazing. So we're going to move on to social media now, which is the sort of the main focus really of what I wanted to talk to you about. You're quite active on social media, particularly through Ballers in God. I think a lot of our listeners will know about Ballers in God. So I'd just really like you to share with us about your heart behind Ballers in God. Why does it exist?
So Ballers in God was formed in 2015. So we're coming up to our 10-year anniversary next year. And it was birthed out of a burden, really. I was in Belgium. I'd left England, obviously, out of my kind of network of church and family and friends. And so I found myself quite isolated and almost alone in my faith journey as a footballer. Obviously, I tried to visit church in Belgium, but the language barrier, my training schedule, it provided a hurdle. And I was just praying one day, and I just sensed that, you know, there needs to be a community for footballers who have faith. And I was obedient to just take a step in that direction. And I came into contact with some of the players I met on my journey who were interested in faith or had some sort of connection to God. And I reached out to them. I just said, look, would you want to join an online meeting where we could just come together as players to pray, to read the word, to support each other? And they were really for it. And we had our first meeting in 2015 with four players on Skype. And we prayed, we laughed, we cried. It was a very, very wonderful time. It's like, there's some things you do, you just feel like God's signature's on it. It's like, oh yeah, God's presence is here. And so we grew and grew and grew to the point where players invited teammates, and we started to meet more regularly. And we kind of grew into three language groups, so English, French, and Dutch. So as of now, we actually have daily meetings, prayer meetings, weekly discipleship meetings online. And it came to the point where, okay, we were serving players, like players were getting, you know, community and, you know, they were getting support. And we recognize that actually there's a huge community out there of footballing fans and people who love football and are connected to faith. They also, I'm sure, would need, you know, appreciate being encouraged and recognizing that there are actually many footballers out there scattered who do have faith and are quite vocal and bold about their faith. So we started the Instagram account and online socials in 2018. It was a few years after we started the main movement. And it took off like wildfire. It was really well received. And I think that football is a wonderful instrument to use to unite people, and so much more so with faith, you know. So yeah, I think it's been encouraging for players for the public and fans to see that the team they support or the teams that watch a match of the day or they follow in Europe, there are Christian brothers in those teams and in the women's game as well. There's Christian sisters in those teams who, you know, they're in the world of football, but they're trying to do it for God's glory. So yeah, the Instagram's had a big impact. And over the years, you know, we've received so many encouraging messages from footballing fans and people alike that have said that this Instagram account and the content that we produce has really ignited their desire to want to know Jesus and grow in their faith and help them in a day-to-day life. They look forward to the post. It's something that really gives me joy and is an encouragement to me. So that's the heart behind why we did it. We recognize that football is a wonderful platform, but can we use it to impact people for Jesus?
And certainly I can vouch, it's been a tremendous encouragement to me. You know, there's just something really special, for example, like as an England fan, to get to see, you know, Bukayo Saka running down the wing and be like, go, because you sort of, you feel like there's an extra 10% of, you know, God's making him that little bit faster. I know, I'm kidding. But I think there is some real encouragement in that, and knowing that, yeah, just like I go to work every day and try and be the best follower of Jesus I can be, and that there's so many of you guys in that industry as well. So it's hugely encouraging. I think one of the things I wanted to ask was about Ballers in God being a positive presence in the social media landscape. I think social media gets a really bad name, and, you know, often quite rightly so, because there's a lot of negativity and a lot of disunity and that sort of thing, a lot of division. How important is it for you to be encouraging in that space particularly?
Yeah, I think, you know, growing up as a young person in the late 90s, early 2000s, it was forums. Forums was a way that people used to try to probably show my age now. But
I remember them too, mate.
You know, and so that was a way that people would kind of get there. It's like a release and connect to the community. Now, social media is a complete different animal, and everyone has an opinion, and not only do they have an opinion, they have a platform to voice that opinion. Now, we live in a world where everyone has their own truth, right? But we recognize that there isn't many truths. Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. So his way is exclusive. This is not to make anyone feel excluded, but this is to invite, Jesus invites himself to all who would listen and all who would accept him to let him come into their lives. And so we recognize that social media is an incredible platform and tool to get into people's lives. Very rarely and seldom do people just wake up and say, I want to go to church today. But in actual fact, everyone almost wakes up with a device or goes to sleep with a device and checks the device throughout the day. And it's an avenue to present people with Jesus, or present them with encouragement, or present them with, you know, maybe an alternate look to what they hear every day on the news or what they see in their workplace. I recognize that maybe not everyone has social media, but almost everyone has access to it, and everyone wants information. We live in an information age. So I feel like while there's so much information out there, I believe that the voice of the church, the voice of followers of Jesus, we need to have a loud voice, not to be obnoxious or to be radical in a sense, but to have a voice, for it to be loud, for it to be bold, for it to be inviting, for the world to see that we have something that can't be found elsewhere. You know, Jesus really is who he says he is. So I think it's absolutely paramount. And you see, as players have kind of come out of their shell, players are very vocal about what they stand for in life, whether it's veganism, whether it's charity work. And also you find players of faith, Christians, they are very vocal and they want to use their platform to show people that this is who I am. And there's also an invitation for you to look into what I'm into, you know. So I think it's key. I think it's key. Jesus said, he said, occupy till I come. And I looked at that verse, I was like, that's quite powerful. He said, occupy till I come. So he's actually given us authority and also boldness and the tools to actually influence culture, to influence those who maybe have never heard about him before. And social media is a wonderful tool that many, many people can hear him from.
That's absolutely amazing. You're so right. Just a couple of questions before we finish. In terms of Ballers and God specifically, what are your sort of hopes over the next few years with that platform? What do you hope can be achieved?
Yeah, so we have quite a few goals. We have been working very hard behind the scenes because it's a ministry led by players for players and the footballing world. So the players have been doing a wonderful work behind the scenes, and we've got structures inside where we're quite solid now. But we want to really start to, you know, outreach into culture. So we want to help players and send players into mission trips overseas, where in the off season they can go and be a blessing to different cultures and countries. There is also in the pipe work a team that will come in time. It will start at the grassroots level and work our way up through the leagues. So there will be a Ballers and God football team. You're hearing that for the first time.
Amazing.
It's not been on news before.
That's an exclusive. And exclusive, yeah, on the Big Man Up Top podcast.
There you go. And you know what? There are many things that we desire to do, like to have headquarters, a charity, and there's so many things we desire to do. But honestly, Ed, our focus will always be the same, to impact one person at a time. One player at a time, one person at a time. So we, by the grace of God, online, on Instagram Lives, we've had many conversations and with football followers and had programs, and we've done meetings for our following. And we've had the honor of leading people to Jesus on social media, on Instagram Live. So our goal will always be souls before goals. So we have targets we want to make, and we have things we want to achieve, but souls and impacting people with the truth, and loving people, serving them from the position of being a footballer and the platform God's given us, that will always be the foundation of what we do. So yeah, that's just a little insight as to what we're going to be pushing towards in the next couple of years.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, listen, John Bostock, thank you so much for joining me on the Big Man Up Top. And yeah, we'll be praying for you as you keep on your journey. We'd love to have you back on at some point and let us know how the team's shaping up. And if you need another centre forward, I can always dust off the old boots maybe. But
are you the big man up top?
I was at one point, big man, 5'7" at one point. Yeah. No, my playing days are well behind me, mate. But thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. God bless.
Wasn't that great? Thank you for listening to the Big Man Up Top. We'll be back next week with our final summer special, and it's a doozy. I promise you, this episode will be so much better if you watch it on our YouTube channel. So why not head over to YouTube, search for the Big Man Up Top Pod, click that subscribe button and the little notification bell next to it. But for now, thanks again for listening, and we will see you next week.